All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hosea. I'm going to kind of piggyback on what I preached on this morning. The two messages are kind of going to go together. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. When we, I think it was the one of the early trips that Karen and I took. I think we were pastoring out in Illinois, but we went to Israel with a bunch of our folks from out there, and our guide was talking about Hosea, and we were all looking at one another like, what's he talking about? It was Hosea, but it's pronounced over there Hosea, all right? And so we didn't know who he was talking about. I had to ask, and he looked at me like I was an idiot. But anyway, all right, verse 14, just one verse tonight. Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. Did I not tell you what chapter? I did. Well, what are y'all flipping pages for? You forgot? You were in the book of Joel. Is that what you said? All right, verse 14, please. It says, for Israel hath forgotten his, what's the next word?
Maker.
And you'll notice that's capitalized. So Hosea is talking about God here, the Lord. He has forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. All right, so notice here, he makes an indictment against Israel to the north and Judah to the south. By this time, the kingdom has divided, and you have the 10 northern tribes called Israel. Sometimes they are referred to as Ephraim, and the reason is because Ephraim had grown to where it was the largest of the 10 tribes. And so they kind of adopted the name of Ephraim because there were so many of them, and they were dominant. And so sometimes, instead of calling the 10 Israel, they would call them Ephraim. So if you ever read that in your Bible, you will know that's there. All right, so then notice that an indictment is also spoken against Judah. And that is, of course, Judah and Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was always the runt tribe. They were always few in number, and they were the runt tribe. Now, do you know why? Because of homosexuality.
That's right.
There's no reproduction. Can't have a baby. It's not natural. It's not natural. Amen. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. All right, I want us to look at God's indictment against his people. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now to help us tonight to get some nuggets from your word that we can feast on, that we can think on, that we can hide in our hearts so that we'll be better Christians for you. And Father, I want to pray thanking you for the music that we've heard tonight. It has stirred our hearts. And now we pray that the Word of God will will stir our hearts. I ask you, Father, to help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. And may the Lord be honored in what we do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I love the book of Hosea. There are so many little statements that were spoken by Hosea, little one-liners that can be turned into sermons or subjects that are a great lesson for any teacher or for any preacher. Hosea means helper. His name means helper. And surely with all the great and little simple things that he wrote in this book, he was and has been a great teacher to many, many, many people through the centuries. Now, in his book, in the whole thing, if you just were to look at an overview of it, you would see that he indicts the northern 10 tribes called Israel, and then he also indicts in this book the two southern tribes of Judah, which were Judah and Benjamin, simply called, when referencing them, Judah. So you got Israel and Judah. And this book is basically an indictment from the Lord spoken through Hosea to each of those nations. Now, it is amazing how the indictments against Israel and Judah back 2,600, 2,700 years ago are as pertinent today as if they were being spoken by Hosea in our country in 2020. And I want to piggyback on several things that I said this morning about how the wicked have said they don't want anything to do with God. Only tonight we're going to look at how Israel and Judah didn't want anything to do with God. And it did not end well for them. And I'm telling you, it's not going to end well for us. All right, so there's three things that I want to call to your attention out of this 14th verse. First of all, I want you to notice the forgetting. Notice the forgetting. In verse 14, for Israel hath, what's the next word? Forgotten. So notice with me, first of all, the forgetting. The verse starts out by telling us that Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. Now, as I said to you this morning, it's a terrible place to be in when we tell God we don't want anything to do with him. That's just an awful place to get. To forget God is to leave him out of your life, out of your thoughts. And of course, there are many ways that we can forget the Lord. As we saw in Job's statement this morning, we can consciously make a decision that we simply do not want God to occupy any place in our lives. And you would not think it so, but the country today, which has the highest percentage of its people, I'm talking about civilized nations now, the country that has the highest percentage of its people who claim to be atheist is the nation of Israel. That's amazing, isn't it? They're supposed to be God's people. They are God's people. And yet so many of them state that they are atheists. They want nothing to do with God. Now, of course, that's going to change. But they say, I want nothing. I don't believe that there is a God. Now, I have said to you many times from this pulpit that I personally do not believe there is any such thing as a true atheist. I really don't. I think that if you're an atheist, Somebody has messed with your head. Somebody has talked to you or taught you. But I don't think there's any such thing as a true atheist. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. And that when God created man, he breathed in the man the breath of life. And when he did that, man became a living soul. I just think there's something in us that was put there by our maker that identifies itself with us and shows us the truth about God. I just don't think there's any such thing as a true atheist. Somebody has maybe told you that you were an atheist and you've swallowed it because you do not want to have to deal with God, just like Job spoke this morning and just like Hosea is saying here. Somebody may have told you that. You go, oh yeah, that's good. If I don't believe in God, then I don't have to answer to God. But that's not good thinking, folks. I tell you another reason why I don't believe that there's such a thing as a real atheist. You let that atheist stick his finger in a light socket and see who is the first person he calls out to. Oh, yeah. Help me, Lord. He'd be crying out to the God he proclaims not to believe in. So Hosea says that Israel simply did not have time for God. Now let's look at why they didn't have time for God. If you look back at the verse, you will see that they forgot about God because they were too busy, look at the verse, building temples. They were too busy building temples. In other words, they were too busy with other things in their life. And the thing they were most busy with was building temples. Now, I checked on the Hebrew word here, and the Hebrew word for temples here is not talking about a church or even a synagogue, places of worship. That's not the word that was used here. The word that was used here simply means they were just building buildings. Now remember, Job gave his indictment this morning and said that these people forgot God when they became prosperous. And so you got basically the same thing here. I mean, if you're able to build buildings, you have some prosperity going on. You have the ability to build. You have the money to build. In other words, these people were so busy improving their lives and were so busy improving their communities and their towns, and they were growing and they were building as they were growing, and they simply got so busy in their building that they forgot God. God was their maker, and he brought them into this world, and his blessing was how they had prosperous times that they had. I mean, that in God's blessing upon them enabled them to have the resources so they could build. And yet they turn right around, forget about God. Boy, that's the way we are, isn't it? Don't you think this is a pretty good portrait of our land today? You know, I remember when I was a kid, everything was closed on Sunday. Do you remember that? Especially down south. All right, Virginia and West Virginia. I mean, mercy. You didn't go out to eat on Sunday afternoon. You know why? There were no restaurants open. Everything was shut down. Everything was shut down. And you didn't go to the grocery stores, they were closed. Everybody went shopping on Saturday because the grocery stores were closed on Sunday. And the department stores were closed. And there was no Walmart back then, but Kmart was alive and well. Dead as a doornail today, but it was alive and well back then. And even Kmart wasn't open. I mean, you ate at home because all the restaurants were closed on Sunday. And I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. And we came home, my mother and my brother and my sister and I, we came home from church, and Dad was sitting in the living room waiting on us. And we normally, every Sunday afternoon, went up to my dad's sister where my dad's father, my grandfather, lived. And just about every Sunday, we went up and we had dinner with them. Only took about 20 minutes to get to their house, and we would have dinner with them. And on this day, I remember, I was about 10 or 11 years old, somewhere in there, and Dad said, he was sitting there reading the newspaper, the Charleston Gazette, when we all came in, and Dad held this little flyer up, and he said, there's a new Ponderosa Steakhouse. Now, there was a Ponderosa here when I first moved here. It was right over there somewhere. Where was it? Over there where Taco Bell is, wasn't it? Isn't that right? And so my dad said, he held that up, and it was a coupon. And he said, you know, top, it said, grand opening. And my dad said, before we go up to see your grandfather, let's go to the Ponderosa Steakhouse. And my mother scolded him. You know, she said, you may be a heathen, but we're not. We just came from church. We're not going out to no steakhouse. And my dad said, yes, we are. So we all piled in the car and we drove up towards my aunt's house. And instead of turning left and going up Cold Fork, we turned right and went across the bridge over to Canal City. And when we went over to Canal City, you would have thought that somebody at that brand new building with the big sign on the front that said Ponderosa, you would think that somebody was giving away free Cadillacs. I mean, everybody in the county was at that restaurant. And my dad said, well, I'm not waiting on this. And so we turned around, went over to my aunt's house and crashed her supper. But I remember that. I mean, you know, nothing was open on Sunday. But today, Sunday is simply another day of buying and selling and trading and building and repairing. You see, Sunday is no longer the day of rest. Sunday is no longer a day of worship. Every football stadium is full. Every soccer stadium is full. Every hockey arena is full. Even NBA games are full. I don't understand that, but they are. But sadly, churches are not full. What has happened? Well, the same thing that happened in Israel 2,700 years ago. Our nation has become prosperous, and we have forgotten who made us prosperous. We've forgotten our Maker. Our nation does not have time for God with all the busy activities that we are doing now. People watch all the filth on television, but they don't read the Bible. And simply put, God is not in our thoughts. We have forgotten our Maker. But then notice, secondly, I want you to notice the fences. All right, we had the forgetting, but then notice the fences. Now, what does that mean? Well, we are told in the first part of the verse that Israel, the 10 northern tribes, had forgotten their maker. But now I want you to notice what else God said about the nations in the rest of the verse. Look at it in verse 14. It says, "For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples." Look at what he said about Judah. He said, "Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." Now, what does that mean? Well, I didn't know what it meant when I read it. And so I looked up to see what others had to say about it. And then I said, oh, my, that makes perfect sense. So here's what I want you to notice. When it says fenced cities, it means that when they established a city, a town, they would build walls around it. And those of you that have been to Israel with us, you know that that's what they point out every time we stop somewhere. Here's the walls of that city. Here's the walls of that. Here's the walls of Jericho. Here's the wall of Jerusalem. And we go down into the city, and you can get down 8 or 10 levels through the years, and they'll say, this was the original wall that they built. And we went down into the tunnels, and you walk down into those tunnels when you're standing there looking at the Wailing Wall. All right, you've seen the pictures of it. You're standing there looking at the Wailing Wall. Well, there is a place you can go in here, and they will take you all through this labyrinth of dugout structure, and they walk you through it and take you eventually around to the foundation stone of that western wall. And that was the wall around the temple. And every time I've gone by there, there's been some Jewish lady that has been sitting there, and she is praying for the nation. Almost every time you go there, and they feel that the reason they pray there is because they feel that that is the closest that you can get to where the Holy of Holies used to sit. That's why they pray there. All right? So the walls were how you protected your city, the way you protected your people back then. Now, here's the thought. Here's the thought. You say, well, why would God indict them for multiplying fences, for building fences around all their cities? Why would God have a problem with that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because in the law, God said to Moses, when you get into that land now that I'm going to give you, don't build walls around the city. You say, well, why? Because God wanted them to know that he was going to be their defense. He was going to fight for them. Don't build a wall around the city. I will protect you. And so what did they do? As soon as they got in the land, they start building walls around their cities. Why did they do that? Because remember, the first city that they went to was Jericho, and it had an impregnable wall around it. Now, it wasn't impregnable to God. And they marched around the city, and I'm sure they were all talking to one another, going, all right, now how in the world are we ever going to get inside the walls of this city? And God said, on the seventh day, walk around 7 times and then blow the shofar, and when you do, I'll knock the walls down for you. And he did. And you go over there and look at the ruins of Jericho, and you can see that the walls fell in, just like the Bible says. They did not fall this way, they fell that way, allowing the children of Israel to attack. So what was the big deal about building walls? Well, because God was their defender. Now, folks, think about it, all right? Just think about it. When they forsook God, they had to build walls around everything that was of importance to them. Now, you know what we do today? Well, we live in a civilized nation, for one thing. Amen. All right? We live in a civilized America. Thank God we do. Folks, you ought to thank God every day that you live in this country, that you were born in America. You ought to thank God for it, because we have a freedom that the rest of the world really knows very little about. Very little. So how do we handle things today? Well, we have insurance, don't we? Yep. Huh? Yep. I mean, you think about it. You got home insurance, you got fire insurance, you got car insurance, you got life insurance in case you die. You've got health insurance so that if you get sick, it'll pay for it. And now I've heard they even have policies for your pets. Isn't that something? You can get little Fifi an insurance policy. You can get your cat. I don't know why you would. But you can get your cat an insurance policy. Lots of people. Here's another insurance thing they do. They get these Ring doorbells. I've got one. It's not a doorbell, it's mounted on the side of the house. Anybody comes up my driveway and my phone goes off, and I can then pick that phone up, hit that button, and in 2 seconds, I have a perfect picture of who is coming up my driveway. Now, there's been one or two times where, and this is so cruel, there's been one or two times where I knew who it was, and I hit the button that allows you to talk into your phone and it will broadcast. And I've gone, "What are you doing at my house?" Man, they go crazy. I'll scare you to death. Karen and the girls did it to me one day. I had to go to therapy after it was over. But you know, there are very few people today that are interested in spiritual security. Isn't that true? Very few people that are interested in spiritual security. Few folks today are putting the wall of salvation around their soul. Our nation prides itself in its great military strength. Our nation is constantly developing new weapons that can wipe out an enemy in seconds. I don't know if you've ever watched any of that on the military channel, but man, what they can do today is just unreal. They can fly a plane so high that there is not a country on the planet that can hit it. That's amazing. That is amazing. They can fly a satellite over, look down a couple hundred miles, several hundred miles, and zero that camera in and read your license plate. Oh, wow. 1984 all over again. Instead, our nation... Here's what our nation's doing. Our nation has been dismantling, through laws, the walls to keep sin out. They've been dismantling the protection to keep sin away. I've said to you many times, we live today in an age where right has become wrong and wrong has become right. Instead of laws that protect us from sin, politicians today have been and are passing laws which tear down the walls that protect us, while at the same time they are building walls that protect those who will eventually destroy us. That's where we are. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I mean, you just think about it. Abortion. I don't care how you slice that, folks. That's murder. I mean, that. I don't care how you slice that. That's murder. That's taking a human life. Gambling. Oh, it's going to fix education. No, it's not. Oh, it's going to help our roads. No, it's not. It's going to end up in bureaucrats' pockets. Here's another one. The alcohol. Yeah, I mean, you go anywhere you want to go, and you'll see alcohol. Here's one I never thought I'd live to see: marijuana. And you mark it down, folks. It's going to be legal all over the country. You just mark it down. Marijuana. See, what used to be laws that protected society, well, they're tearing those walls down. And they're building the walls around those that would pervert the nation. Our politicians are tearing down the walls that protect us. And then they're erecting walls which aid and abet the sins that are destroying our society. When Bill prayed a while ago and asked God to get rid of these politicians that are doing this stuff, I said, amen. How sad is it that we are today protecting those who would destroy us? But when you forget God, this is what happens to your society. What we need in America is an old-fashioned revival. Amen. What we need in America is folks repenting of the sin of forgetting God, and then see America get back to some sense of sanity in all of these matters. That's what's needed. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the fire. I want you to notice the fire. God says, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour these palaces, these buildings that he spoke about in the first part of the verse. We saw the forgetting, then we saw the fences, but now I want you to look at the fire. God says, I will send a fire upon the cities. And that fire shall destroy the palaces. Now, folks, of course, you got to realize that whenever God uses fire in the Bible, he's talking about judgment. He's talking about judgment. Fire speaks of judgment. And as I said this morning, and we saw in Job, when a person forgets God and rejects God and walks away from God, judgment will certainly follow. It's a natural fact. You see, even walled cities cannot protect you from fire. Not this kind of fire anyway. This kind of fire does not come laterally. It comes upon you. It comes out of heaven. When the tribulation period comes upon this world, there's going to be a multitude of people around the planet who are going to have to face the wrath and the anger of God Almighty. But then in Isaiah, we read that the Lord Jesus will come back at his second coming at the end of that 7-year tribulation period. And when he comes, Isaiah tells us he will sweep through the south, Yemen, called Teman in the Bible and come up through Saudi Arabia and then just level the Middle East with his judgment. All of it will be set aflame. God's wrath, God's judgment. So all the walled cities and all the fences and all the militaries and all the threats and the mother of this and the mother of that is going to be all for nothing. Because God is going to judge. The world needs to hear that there is a great, great price for forgetting God. Take your Bible now and go over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I want to read you this great price. This great price for forgetting God. At the end, when the Lord Jesus comes back at his second coming, at his return. In verse 11, John says, chapter 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." They can't even look at him because they know what's coming. And they could not look at his face. "From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Wow. You say, boy, God's mean, isn't he? No, he's a God of mercy. But if you reject that mercy, then he has to deal with you in judgment. Verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged," there it is, "judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." You know what the first death is? Physical death. But the second death is a spiritual death. Separation from God, cast into the lake of fire. And verse 15 said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now here's the point, folks. God wants your devotion to him. And if you forget God and say you do not need him, I assume, or I assure you, that you will need him on this fateful day. You may say, "Oh, I don't need him now," but you will need him on this day. You better think about that. Nobody escapes this judgment from God. The books will be opened. And every man, woman, and teenager is going to be judged over what they have done with this book and its commandments. And folks, notice, nobody escapes. Nobody. So what is its commandments? What is it? It commands all men to be saved. All men. And not one soul will escape. You know what that means, folks? You're either saved or you're lost. You're either saved or you're not saved. There is no in-between area. There is no area for the unconcerned. There is no gray area that you can get in and say, "Well, I don't have to answer here. I'm in the gray area." Nope. Not going to work. Not going to work. You cannot say, God, excuse me, but this judgment is not for me. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in you. And God's going to grab them by the nape of the neck and throw them in. And when they're thrown in, they'll believe then. Or it'll be too late. My friend, if you forget God in your life, you will certainly remember him in death. Because the fires of hell will remind you of God daily. Don't forget, it is the fire of his wrath. And you will either give God devotion now, or you will experience judgment for all eternity. I hope you have not forgotten God, your Maker.